Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In Philippians 2:10 through 11, St. Paul fast forwards us to the end, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Meanwhile, here on earth in 2019, and back in Jesus' day, not yet every knee, not yet every tongue. Interestingly, if you ask the average American today, and you've seen these kind of polls before, we've studied them in Bible study, how about this question? How do you regard the Bible? One poll by Barna said approximately 60% of people asked said that the Word of God really is the Word of God. It's true, either literally true or mostly literally true and sometimes symbolic, but 60% of people said yes, that they polled, we believe the Bible to be the Word of God, fully. Approximately 40% said that the Bible contains error, is not totally true, is the product more so of men, and therefore it errs and has falsehood. It contains error, problems. The interesting part, similarly, in Jesus' day, among the Jews that Jesus interacted with, approximately 60% of them were Pharisees. And the Pharisees believed the Word of God in all of its parts to be the Word of God. They didn't doubt any part of the doctrines taught in the Old Testament. In fact, they even added some oral traditions which we would not believe. But they believed the Word of God in its full. In fact, resurrection? Yes. Angels and spirits? Yes. On the other hand, 40% of the people of the Jews, Sadducees. Those 40% did not believe the Old Testament in its whole had full truth in it. It contained error, or they didn't believe some of the doctrines therein. Resurrection? No. Spirits and angels? No, said the Sadducees. In modern language, we might call the Sadducees materialists. If it didn't matter, it doesn't seem to matter. That is, doesn't have matter. There's no spirit, there's no angel, there's no resurrection of the body. What you see is what you get. The living die and cease to live. Bury them in Sheol, which they believed in, but then stop bothering with the body. It was the Jewish religion without the resurrection. Now the question is, what happens when the Sadducees meet Jesus? Need I ask the question, does Jesus believe in the resurrection? What did Jesus think about spirits and angels, the life outside of what you see, and the life in the world to come? First, notice that Jesus welcomed the conversation. He doesn't run away from any resurrection talk just because there's divided parties. He didn't come into this world to discover like-minded people and reward them for being like-minded. Oh, you like it like me. Okay, good. He came to teach and even set prisoners free. The Sadducees were captive to falsehood. Yet Jesus doesn't dismiss them and write them off just because they don't believe like him. He engages them. Secondly, back up for a second. Part of God's plan for creation's destiny, which is the resurrection, right, was being distorted by people who claimed to represent God's truth. So if Jesus ever seems a little frosty or a little short-tempered, you can kind of understand why, right? The destiny for which God's plan was created was to be resurrected, to be made new ever since Adam's fall. And here you have 40% of the Jews not believing in the destiny in which God created the world for. You can see why he might be a little upset, a little testy. The Sadducees were incorrectly representing the truth of God. And Satan was ever active to take God's word and corrupt it in their hearts. To take the treasures and the truth and mix it with lies. And that's why it's especially important for those who teach to be on guard against false belief that leads hearers to despair instead of truth and life. How many people do you know that have died not believing in the hope of the resurrection? I've seen people facing death who didn't have the hope of the resurrection, and it's quite different than those brothers and sisters that we have in the faith who die with the hope of the resurrection. It's a different experience. What or who gave them that idea? God, who appeared as an angel in a burning bush to Moses? Or God, who sent Elijah and Elisha, the prophets who raised the dead back to life? Or inspired Job to speak of the resurrection in his own flesh, in which he himself and not another, will see his Redeemer? Or was it teachers who doubted and distorted the word of God, like the Sadducees, and yet claimed to represent God? Truth comes from God. Half-truths and lies come from the evil one and those under his influence. The truth is in Jesus as God's word fulfilled in all its parts. Therefore, Jesus could say, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." This was God's plan for his creatures, and for this reason, Jesus came into the world to rescue and to resurrect. Third, the Sadducees tried to use reason and the law against Jesus in order to disprove the resurrection. In their reasoning, one who is lawfully married 7 times on earth cannot be blessed with resurrection joy. In their reasoning, the law of marriage with its one fleshness cannot coincide with the doctrine of the resurrection, for there would be envy and jealousy in the resurrection. Whose husband did the woman belong to in the resurrection? What they failed to see is that Christ is the end of the law for those who believe. Resurrection glory supersedes any problems posed by man and woman in multiple legal bonds of marriage here on earth. We may not fully understand why or how, But resurrection glory supersedes any problem posed by that here on earth. Jesus' response to their story of the woman married seven times shifted from the question of which man will have her to the greater question, the more relevant question, who will be worthy to attain to the resurrection? The Sadducees, like the Pharisees, trusted in the law, for notice they did not ask a question about faith. Those who attain to the resurrection are not due to the laws of marriage. Jesus says, "They neither marry nor are given in marriage," as though it fulfills some law that God will accept or deny in his great judgment seat. The kingdom of heaven, rather, as you know it, comes by grace through faith in believing in Jesus. The very Christ who stood before them, before those Sadducees, answering their questions as God himself, the I Am in the flesh, he whom God appointed to wash the church to make them his spotless bride in the resurrection, though they had been married 77 times before to husbands and idols made of wood and metal and self-made glorified images. Yes, the Sadducees were under Satan's influence and tried to use reason and the law against Jesus in order to disprove the resurrection. But our husband and friend proved the resurrection. He proved it in the very words the Sadducees did believe in, that is, the law of Moses. The appearance of God in the burning bush, as we heard in our Old Testament, he is who? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Who are they? Those patriarchs of old. Are they dead and gone? He's not God of the dead, but of the living. For all live to him. But later, Jesus proved it by his cross and by his open tomb. And those blessed appearances after Easter to the women, to the disciples, and to more than 500 all at once. It's one thing to talk about the resurrection or to debate it. It's another to prove it in the flesh, to come down to earth, to climb a cross and exit a tomb, and to continue to prove it for the faithful who come to his table and receive the crucified and risen body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ under the bread and wine. The proof of the resurrection today is put into your hands and into your mouths so that your hearts may believe by faith, not by laws of marriage or reason or anything else. The God of the burning bush, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the living, the God who is Jesus Christ, born for you, crucified for you, risen for you, may he grant you graciously creation's destiny by forgiving you all your sins, and may he keep you free from the Sadducees' falsehood. So be steadfast in his word and gifts. In Jesus' holy name, amen. And the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.